Friends, Merry Christmas yet again. We can't say it enough. I hope the Christmas octave has been a time of deep joy in your hearts as you ponder the great mysteries at hand. And enjoy time with loved ones too, of course. How generous and marvelous our God is. And how wonderful it is that the church ends the Christmas octave with this celebration, where we specifically recognize Mary as the Holy Mother of God. Why the big deal, though? We already know Mary's the Mother of God, right? That's not news to us. Is this simply a sentimental shout-out to Mary? Kind of throw her a little goodness here and there? No, not at all. This startling reality is much more profound and essential than it may seem to our ears, since we have heard this so many times. But you go back in the first few centuries of the church, people died over this, whether Mary's the Mother of God or not. I mean, there was violence. I mean, it was crazy. But it's much more commonplace. We accept it now. Not all Christians accept the depth and profundity that we do, but we accept it all. So let's start unpacking, shall we? In today's second reading, St. Paul lays down the crucial groundwork to get us started. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. We'll come back to the rest later. Paul has much more to say there, but for now, notice what Paul is saying here. When the fullness of time had come, not just when it was kind of fun to do this, when the fullness of time had come, when the time had come to fulfill all that God has promised for so many centuries. And he'd been preparing the people all this time. Now the fullness of time has come. God sent his Son, not a son or not another son, but his only begotten Son. Born of a woman, born under the law. So God didn't send his Son as an angel or even as a full-grown human being. Just bloop, here he is. He was born of a woman. He was conceived in her womb. He spent 9 months there. And then he was born as a baby. He took on the fullness of human nature. The fullness of human nature. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. This is the God-man that we've heard about. Yet he was also born under the law, we hear. So no free pass for this son, right? He doesn't just get to do whatever he wants because he's the only begotten Son of God the Father. Now with this in mind, let's take another look at today's gospel passage, which begins with the shepherds. They're going in haste to Bethlehem after the stupefying experience they just had with the angels. And theirs is a proper response to God's revelation. They're blown away by what the Lord has done. They go in haste to share the good news, to carry out the Lord's will, what he asked them to do. And what do they find? Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. Then they share the message from the angels, which has clearly been fulfilled. And all who hear the message are amazed. The shepherds, Mary and Joseph, all who hear this are amazed. They're astonished. So the angels weren't lying, were they? No, this actually took place. This indeed is the long-awaited Messiah lying right in front of them. A helpless baby, completely vulnerable. This is the Messiah. It's astonishing. Why would God come like this? How wondrously beautiful. How mysterious that he would act in such a way. Very different from all the other gods for all throughout all of human history. They're all false gods, of course, but very different. And the shepherds who are there, so they're formerly their outcasts. The shepherds were out on the outskirts of the town tending the sheep. Some of them were scoundrels. Some of them were rejected from their families a number of different ways, but they were definitely outcasts, outsiders. So I say now the shepherds, former outcasts, God came to them and revealed this to them. They've been blessed by the Lord, no longer outcasts. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, while Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Really, really good stuff here. Now, what might Mary be reflecting on? You think she was reflecting on the latest scientific advancements of the time? Marveling over them? I say that kind of in jest because there was something I just saw yesterday. I don't know when this research came out recently, but apparently like 73% of Christians and 80% of Catholics, they did a survey and they said, you know, what do you think the most, you know, amazing developments in human history have been? 73% of Christians, 80% of Catholics said they're scientific advancements. The amazing technological things that we've done. My guess is that they might be the same 80% that don't believe Jesus is really present in the Eucharist, right? By far, the biggest advancements in human society came in through Jesus. The Word became flesh, dwelled among us. We could see Him. He died, rose in the resurrection, the ascension into heaven. That's the most significant advancements in human history, brothers and sisters. There was no way out of sin and darkness before then. There is a way out. If that didn't happen, well, would Catholics have went on and gave birth to science as we know it, to the university system as we know it, to the medical system as we know it? This all flowed out of Catholicism, out of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So those are the most important advancements in human history. Back to Mary. She wasn't reflecting on the scientific advancements of the time. No. Certainly she's reflecting on the many, many astonishing events over the past 9 months. Remember 9 months before this, the angel Gabriel appears to her. You have the Annunciation. She just astonished, amazed. Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant. And John the Baptist is born. Just many amazing things. But in this particular moment that we're reflecting on in this gospel passage, she's reflecting on the mystery of the little baby right in front of her. Right in front of her. And even more particularly on the little face looking up at her. The very face of God. The very face of God looking up, smiling. Yet at the same time, this baby has her face as well. Her face. If you think about it, He took His flesh from her. God the Father doesn't have flesh. He's pure spirit. So He doesn't have a human face. So, therefore, the baby Jesus looks like Mary. Like her features, her complexion, her eyes. Who else is He going to get it from? Normally you get it from father and the mother, right? But only the mother has flesh here. In due time, He would have talked like her too. The same accent, the same kind of jokes. They would have told the same stories. Right? A lot of the parables come out of what He learned from Mary and from Joseph too. How amazing this is, friends, if you just think about it for a moment. Even more amazing, imagine that little face of God looking up at you, smiling up at you, seeking you, those little limbs reaching up, seeking you. And then imagine Mary handing Him to you, giving you the opportunity to hold the Christ child, to be intimately close to Him, to feel His warmth. Yes, this child was born to be shared with the whole world, not to be hoarded, to be shared. Now, this glorious moment that we're reflecting on is foreshadowed in the blessing God gives to Moses in today's first reading. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. How much more gracious could He be than to give us His only Son and this helpless little baby dependent on us and His face shining upon us. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. Yes, He looks upon every single one of you kindly. He delights in you. He thirsts for deeper relationship with you. And He gives you that peace in and through that relationship. No longer is any of this metaphorical. As it was, the people saw the Lord shining upon us in the beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunny day, a number of different ways. It's not metaphorical anymore. Now, it is reality. Literally, the Lord's face shining upon human beings. And as if this isn't astonishing enough, let us return to Paul now and discover that there is even more for us to behold. Christ didn't come just so we could marvel at him, like, ooh and ah, look at the baby, or look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, or whatever it is, so we can have warm fuzzies, like, wow, that's pretty amazing. No, he was born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom us so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's so crucial. It's enormously important and beautiful. Brothers and sisters, he wants us sinners to share in the same unspeakably marvelous communion that he has shared with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. But this is only possible for you through his passion, death, and resurrection, through which you are no longer a slave to sin, but a son and an heir of the promises of God's only begotten Son. All the promises. You're an heir to all of those promises through baptism, of course. Yes, indeed, to return again to Paul's words, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. He truly is your Father too. That's why your heart cries out to Him, Abba. But at the same time, Mary is also your mother in a very real way. Since you are a member of her son's body, the mother of God is your mother too. She loves you so deeply. She keeps you. She treasures you in her heart as well and wants nothing more than for you to be completely immersed in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, just like your mother, be amazed at God's goodness and generosity. None of us is going to experience the Annunciation again like Mary did, but he comes to us in so many different ways, so many gifts. Be amazed at his goodness, reaching out to you so generously. And keep these things, treasure these things in your heart. They truly are treasures. Return to these blessings, these amazing things the Lord has given you in prayer. He wants you to go deeper and deeper, reveal more and more of his love for you. Reflect on these things in your heart. Be amazed. Keep these things, treasure these things, reflect on these things, and then go in haste. Then go in haste. Don't hesitate. Don't question. Oh, I don't know. What am I going to do? I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if God's given me enough. Go. He's calling you to go. Don't hold back. Go share the good news. Go out and do His holy will. Just go. Follow God and allow His grace to guide you on the greatest adventure possible. And now, as it is Christmas time, we're going to finish with a Christmas carol. I'm not going to sing it for you because then you might all run away. But I want to give you the lyrics because it came upon a midnight clear. Most of you are probably familiar with it. The words really struck me as I was praying through this the Christmas season. And it embodies what we're talking about here. So listen to these wonderful words. Let them sink in. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. This is the angels appearing to the shepherds, right? Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds, the blessed angels sing. They're still singing now, if we have ears to listen. But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years shall come the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing.